Jasmine.
Ruby, Jasmine, how are you?
Good, Ruby. And you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. I think we're the only two on right now.
Okay, we'll wait for Hanok.
Okay, I'm going to mute my phone.
Me too.
Malcolm. It's Ruby. There's at least there are three of us on right now.
Okay.
I'm going to mute my phone back.
All right. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gedula Chimin Ha. Tati Sera Alfakimo Yutav Tati Kabil Rinat Ampasagvenu Aharenu No Ra Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Na gibor dor sheyud ha kevavat sham rem un gimel dalet yud kashin farhem tacharem rachame sitkatcha tamid gamlem betetresh Saditav Gimel. Chasin Kadosh Vero Tuvcha Na'el Adata Et Kufbet Et Nunayan. Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Pene Zochre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. Shabbatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu yodea dalumot shinkufal tzadiyutah. The letters of the month of Shvat, the bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn, and the tzadi that created the constellation Deli, the sign of Aquarius. The water carrier, or the water bucket. Together, the Tzadi and the Bet have a gematria of 92, which is 91 plus the Kolel. And we know that 91, and now we know 92, connects to the unity of the spiritual and physical worlds uniting. We have brought our energy of creation into our space. And now we will separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation by utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei Adonai Yohei Wahei El Rachum Bechanun Erech Apaim V'rav chesed be'emet, nozer chesed la'alafim, nose'awon wa'fesha, v'chata'av v'nakei. We're now going to read the verses that connect to the various years and the energy of those years, beginning with 5777. The year of the goat. We're going to read two verses. The first verse we will read is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzaduni katzipor oyevai chinam This verse has five words. When we take the first letter of these five words, we're able to parse them into three Hebrew words. Tzatzkiyach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of the five words, we're able to permute them into two Hebrew words, dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to the energy of this year is a verse that has concealed within it the name of the year, Tashinayan Zion, and these letters are separated within the verse by an equal spacing of seven letters each. The verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Kim ba Adonai Yehovahe Elohechem hadbaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year 5776, which is the year of the pause. There are also two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we will read is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Racha kohanim ayu limat v'lo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot v'yechaskum achechem ha'levi'im. Ad kelo tam lacha yad yitkachu hakohanim ki halivim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these 25 words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yehovahe, la la he, wa wa wa, yo la yo, wa la me, hey hey hey. The second verse that connects to the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bihu ba Adonai Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Tzur Olamim. The year 5775 is the year that death is swallowed up forever. That is the energy. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we will read is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo ishem imeni lo tarpeni ad biliruki. The second that we will read is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, udu, mikol hamachavoiya, asher yitabe sham washavtem, elai el naho, v'halakti yitem, v'chayayim yeshno, v'aretz v'chipasti, Oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third is Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved ro'av yomru ayo. Now the verse from 5774, there's only one verse that has this energy, which is peace in the Middle East. And that is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom yami Israel untati vishakan takta vilo yirgaz od vilo yosifu vene avla anoto kaasher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that has the energy of certainty within it. It's from the Parashah of Yitro, Pasuk 29, and we will commence with the L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkim te bitzilu urchimu urchilu urchilu urchimu l'yachka l'Shem Yud he bavav he v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah Lasok Torah mitzvah. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nan Tekucha Barichu Kol Madi Aved Leila Witata Kolayu Yeshot Biovada Dikshot Beleid Lach Mila Bialma Divaye Barnash Vadahya Leya Mineya Ulan Haga Beya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Vikola Itzterich Bialma. Now we're going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the names of the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the 25th day of Shabbat. Rabbi Yisrael ben Rabbi Zed Wolf Lipkin Salanter. This is the father of the Musar movement. And I suggest you read what we have written about him and get to know him very well. He's a very powerful Sadiq. Rav Mordechai Pogromansky, Rav Shabtai, father of Rav Israel of Koshnitz, Rabbi Ephraim Zelaznik, Rabbi Zalman Uri, and the eighth verse of the Ana Bekoach we say in a whisper. Today's class is on continuing our study of Rabbi Ashlag's essays. And the class is number 27D. You can find it from the Revealed Wisdom Matrix by going to row 16, the right-hand column. When that page opens up, scroll down to 27D, General Preface, Section 8. And that's where we will start, in Section 8. And now we shall explain the issue of the striking and the detouche that occurred between the Or Makif and the Or Panimi due to their being tied in one kli, one vessel. See in the Tree of Life, as well as in the Shahar HaGubim, these are writings that are coming from the Ari. That the nature of the Orpanimi, the inner light, is to purify the Kli that is clothed in whole. Hence, since in the 10 Sephirot of the mouth of Adam Kadmon, the inner light and the surrounding light were tied in a single Kli in Malchut. The inner light was purifying the Kli of Malchut degree by degree. And this is the reason for the departure of the 10 Sephirot of the mouth, called the world of Akudim. And I am adding that Betush translates as binding. So the term that we are studying is striking by binding. The thing is that it has already been explained in item 6 and in item 4 that the 10 Sephirot of Or Chozer, returning light, are of opposite value to the 10 Sephirot of Or Yashar, straight light. This is so because in the 10 Sephirot of Or Yashar, straight light, the degrees rise one above the other according to their purity, up to their root, which is the purest among them. I'm getting feedback, and I'm really not sure if it's me or my phone or if it's others, so please mute your phones by pressing *6, and we'll then know. If you want to ask a question, and I welcome questions at any time, please then press *6 again. And I appreciate you doing this. So I'm continuing to read. This is so, the oppositeness of the straight light and the returning light is because in the 10 Sephirot of the straight light, the degrees rise one above the other, according to their purity, up to their root, which is the purest among them. But in the 10 Sephirot of Or Chozer, the returning light, the degrees rise one above the other according to their aviyot, their, I don't want to say dirtiness, their impurity, their physicality, up to the root, which is the coarsest among them. This is the Behinah Dalet and Malchut that became Keter again. Also, Behina Gimel is Chachma, Behina Bet is Bina, and Behina Aleph is Zeranpin, and Keter is considered Malchut. Essentially, what this is saying is that the one light is coming down as direct light, and the other is going back up as returning light. And they're working opposite to each other. Continuing to read. In the beginning, the Masach was purified by one degree. This means that the coarse form of the light of Bechina Dalet, the fourth phase, was purified and reacquired the form of physicality of the third phase. This is considered that the light of Malchut departed its place and rose to the Kli of Zeranpin. Since then, too, the Or Yashar, the direct light, expanded from En Sof, or the Masach, and the detaining force controlled the Masach, until the Zivug de Haka'ah was made, and the 10 Sephirot of Or Chozer, returning light, emerged from the Masach of the third phase. However, they are no longer at the level of Keter as they were initially, but are at the level of Chachma. This is because the physicality of Behina Zeranpin and Behina Gimel, the Or Yashar, has the value of Chachma in the Orchozer. It turns out that the Masach did not return to being Keter due to the Orchozer, but returned to being Chachma. Afterwards, it purified further and received the purification of Bechina Bet, phase 2, which is Bina. There, too, the Or Yashar expanded to it up to the Zivugda Haka'ah and the rising of Or Chozer. Though at the level of Bina, and as the Aviyut, the physicality of Bechina Gimel and Bechina Dalet were lost, she lost the first two sefirot of Or Chozer, of returning light. Subsequently, it purified further and received the purification of Bechina Aleph. The Or Yashar, the direct light from En Sof, made it in it. And the Or Chozer, the returning light, rose, though at the level of Zeranpin, lacking the second phase. Also, after that, it purified even more up to the form of Shoresh, of the root, which rose to the level of Keter. At the time, there was no physicality left in the Masach at all. Hence, there was no more Zivug de Haka'ah on the Or Yashar within it. For this reason, the Or Chozer completely disappeared from the ten Sefirot of Akudim, and see inside in branch 3 and branch 4, where it is all explained elaborately. Thus, it has been clarified that since the inner light is clothed in the Kli of Malchut, it purifies it degree by degree, and along with its purification, the 10 Sefirot of Keter, Chachma, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut of Or Chozer vanish also. This is so because during her ascension to Bechinat Keter, the Masach loses all its power to raise Or Chozer, returning light. Thus, the ten Sefirot of direct light departed also, since the direct light and the returning light are interdependent and tied to one another. And of course, that's as clear as mud. But feel free to ask any questions that you would like, because you're really speaking about binding by striking. It's a very important concept. It's a very useful tool, as I've constantly taught, will continue to teach. And this is a good opportunity to expand your knowledge of it through asking questions.
I have a question. You said something about a moxome. A moxome, is that like a screen? What is a moxome or something like that? Can you hear
masach.
Me?
The word is masach.
Masach, okay.
Is usually translated as a curtain. When you put a curtain over a window, you can close the curtain, but the air will still blow through the open window. It will push the curtain back away from the sill, and then the weight of the curtain will drop back into place. The masach, this concept of a curtain, is this whole idea of direct light. We want pure pleasure, but we made an agreement that we would not receive pure pleasure unless we had earned it. So we have a desire. Whatever the desire is, you can make it up. You want chocolate cake, you want chocolate ice cream, you want sex with somebody who's not your spouse. Whatever the pleasure is, you have this desire, and you receive the light, the energy, to act upon that desire and to achieve it. But if you didn't earn it, the curtain drops back into place and the light that you received for that instant disappears. This is the cause of binding by striking. This is why you have to push back the light, that direct light, that pleasure that you didn't earn. You have to push it back. And when you push it back, it goes back up and completes all of the 10 Sephirot. And when it completes these 10 Sephirot, they will find their way back into your life. And that's the pleasure that you receive from pushing back the direct light that you didn't earn. This is how you earn light. This is how you earn energy. This is how you remove bread of shame. I hope that's helpful, Ruby.
Somewhat.
Any other questions? We will continue to read section 9. To explain that, I shall first explain the state of the Sephirot with a picture of the Tam, which is the singular for Tami, Ta'amim, the punctuation mark, the Tam of Segolta, which is a Tam is not the punctuation marks. Tam is the marks that the reader of the Torah sings. Every letter in a word has a tam, but most of them are not printed in the books because they're not really active. But the tam, the singing, the chanting notes, the pronunciation, tells the reader where to pronounce the word and gives the reader a lot of information. But it's the tam represents a connection and an aspect of the keter, which is the skull, which is segolta, using different metaphors to understand these things. So let me reread this sentence now, having explained what is a tam. To explain zivug d'haka'ah, I shall first explain the state of the Sephirot with a picture of the tam, segolta. That is, the keter is on top. Below it on the right is chokmah, and at its left is bina. That is the picture of the tam called the segolta. It's describing the three Sephirot at the upper levels. We need to understand that, for God forbid that we should understand it as a depiction of places that the tangible eye perceives. Also, the matter of panim de panim, face to face, and achor de achor, back to back, that apply in the 10 Sephirot, God forbid that there should be back and front here. There is no back and there is no front in the relationship of Keter, Chokhmah, and Bina. That's what's being expressed. They are in unity, but they have three different names. And if they have three different names, they're not the same thing. But they're in unity. And this is what Rabbi Ashlag is trying to explain to you here. Continuing to read. The thing is that it has already been explained in the four phases of Or Yashar, of direct light, that expand from the En Sof, which is Keter, that the expansion of the Keter is called Chachmah. And also it thickens as it expands, meaning the intensification of the desire to bestow abundance more than the measure of the expansion. Hence it is regarded as two discernments. Bechina Aleph is the whole of the light that expands from En Sof to that emanated called Chachmah. And Bechina Bet is the Hitabut given to it by the intensification of the desire to extend new abundance called Bina. This paragraph is essentially explaining this idea that the Keter expands, it wants to share more, and it has to create a vessel to receive that more. That first vessel is Chachma, and its second vessel connected to Keter is Bina. But Chachma and Bina are always in unity. And we have these three names that if you have a different name, it's not the same thing. And this paragraph is trying to explain that. Yes, it's not the same thing, and yes, it is the same thing, because it's in unity through diversification. Continuing to read. For this reason, there are three discernments in the Sephirah of Bina. The first discernment is her own structure, which is part of Chachma itself. The second discernment is the light that had thickened in her through her intensification to extend new abundance from Keter. The third discernment is the essence of the abundance that she draws from Keter, called Or de Chasadim, which is much lower than Or Chachma that extends directly from the emanator. But the light of Bina that she extends from Keter is associated by her initial intensification, which was thickened for it. And again, it's clear as mud. So when we complete this section, we will ask more questions, hopefully. And when the Bina draws the light of Chasadim from Keter, she does not draw the light of Chachma from the Sephirah of Chachma. Hence, she is considered to be Achor, Biachor, back to back with Chachma. It turns out that Or Chachma, which is the light of Atzmut, of the general 10 Sephirot in that emanated, ceases from it. For Bina has turned her panim, her face, to draw Or Chasadim from Keter. This implies that Bina is no longer connected to Chachma face to face, but is now back to back. But she is receiving from Keter. She's turned her face upward to Keter, and she's receiving light, but it's light without balance, so it's called Or de Chasadim, representing judgment, light of judgment. But light is never judgment, so it has the term Or de Chasadim. Whereas the light that came from Keter to Chachma is more balanced, and it is called light of Chachma, Or de Chachma. Continuing to read. Yet when Bechina Dalet appears and the 10 Sephirot of Or Chozer that extend from her, considered even more Or Chasadim than the Or Chasadim in Bina, Bina no longer needs to draw the Or Chasadim from Keter, since she receives abundantly from the Or Hazor of Malchut. For this reason, she turns her face back to Chachma and draws Or Chachma once more. At that time, the Or Chachma also is drawn abundantly in the general 10 Sephirot, in that emanated. This is called face-to-face of Chachma and Bina, which they gain through the returning light that rises from Malchut. However, prior to the exile of the vessel of Malchut, Bina turned her face to Keter, which is the state of the Tam Segolta, where Bina is below Keter, like Chachma, but Chachma draws the light of Atzmut, of the essence, from Keter, and Bina draws the light of Chasadim from Keter. And since the light of Atzmut, the essence, is the collective light in the emanated, Chachma is considered right, and the light of Chasadim is considered left, as it is associated with Gevura. Thus, we have explained that the light of essence cannot spread in the whole of the Ten Sephirot of direct light, since Bina is back-to-back with it, except during a Zivug d'Haka'ah in the Masach, in Kli Malchut. And at that time, Bina no longer needs the light of Chesed and returns to being Panim b'Panim with Chachma. It turns out that when the Ten Sephirot of Or Hazor depart from the world of Akudim, the light of Atzmut of the Ten Sephirot of Or Yashar depart along with it. This is because the light of Chachma and the light of Hazor are interdependent, and only Acharayim Debina remains there in the world of Akudim, meaning the light of Chasadim and her Gevurah. Now you will understand the Ari's words we brought above, that the nature of the inner light is to purify the Kli. It is clothed in, since it revolves around the Or Chachma, that clothes it in the internality of the emanated through the Bina that returns to being face-to-face with it. Thus the Acharayim of Bina are purified. And since the Acharayim of Bina, which is Bechina Bet, is the root of Bechina Dalet, since the root is purified, the branch, Bechina Dalet, is purified along with it. That's the end of section 9. Does anybody have any questions?
I have a question, Hanak.
Go ahead.
In order to draw the light, you have to develop, like, what did you call it, the maksach, or the screen from below?
No, Yes. In order to complete the light, the direct light, it's not complete. When it comes down directly, it's not complete. It can only be completed by you pushing it back, meaning you being the curtain. If you don't push it back, the agreement comes into play. The curtain stops that direct light and sends it back. It basically won't let you have it. But when you do push it back, what you are doing is completing the direct light, because it's missing a Sephirah.
Okay, my next question is, that screen, and the is it only allowing you to have what you can tolerate or what you can handle?
Yes, the light will never give the vessel more than it can handle. That's not 100% true, but essentially it's true. The light wants to expand. It wants to share more. It's not a desire like you and I have desires. The wanting of the light is the plan of creation. The light wants to share more. That means the vessel must expand to be able to handle more. So, if I give you a metaphor of the electricity in the wall as being the light, the direct light, and the electricity in the light bulb there's a conversation that takes place between the light and the vessel. The electricity in the light bulb is a vessel. The electricity in the wall is light. These are metaphors I'm trying to utilize to explain. There is a conversation between the light and the vessel. The light says, "How much do you want?" And the vessel says, "I'm rated at 100 watts. The light says, "Fine, I'll give you 100.5 watts. The vessel says, "No, I can only handle 100 watts. The light says, "But I want you to expand. I want you to become larger so I can share more with you. And this is the way you will do so. You will become larger." And so what happens in the electric light bulb as a vessel that cannot expand physically, it bursts. It doesn't burst right away because the filament is able to handle 100.5 watts for a bit of time. Maybe a day, maybe 2 days, maybe a year, but eventually that vessel will burst because it gets tired of pushing back more than its capacity. Now, using that same metaphor with the human being, so you want to be with that woman that's not right for you. And that's the light speaking to the vessel. So the vessel says, "Yeah, I want that woman." So the light says, "Fine, here's the energy to get that woman." But the energy I'm giving you is going to cause you to burst, meaning move to a frame of chaos. And the vessel says, "I'm in a state of lust. I don't care." And so the human being accepts this, goes after this woman that's not right for him, and eventually creates chaos because he bursts. But when he is saying, "I want to be with the woman I'm married to," the light says, "Okay, here's light that you can handle to be with that woman, and I want you to be with her. It's right for you to be with her. It's kosher. It's holy. And I'm going to give you a little bit more that you can handle that will cause you to grow spiritually, that will cause the two of you to grow spiritually in a balanced way. So you won't burst, but you'll grow." Now, I hope these metaphors that I've just expressed are clear to you. I will tell you for myself, it took me a long time to begin to understand this, and I'm not sure that I still do today.
Well, my next question is, reflecting back on the examples that you've just given, the light will allow you to have your desire. Is that correct? The example that you use, the man who wants the woman who's not his wife, that's not good for him. If you desire to have that, then the light will give that to you, or will give you the energy to have that. But then my next question is that the source of some people having like a mental or spiritual break?
Yes.
Because it's the wrong light.
Well, it's not that it's the wrong light. It's just not in a balanced way. If a person has a desire to be with somebody who's not his wife, it just means that that person has a tikkun. The two of those people have tikkunim together. And they are meant to be together, but not necessarily in this lifetime. Not necessarily when he's still married to this other person. He hasn't completed his tikkun with the person he's married to. But if you go back to the endless world, excuse me, the vessel declared itself, I want something. Before the vessel declared it, before the vessel knew that it was wanting something, that it was in lack, the light shared the fulfillment. And that's still true in this physical world, because we're still in the endless world all the time. So if we have a desire, there's a reason that thought came to us. Yes, I'm supposed to be with that woman, but not yet. Hold off. Push back. That's the curtain. That's the returning light. Did I make sense to you now?
Yes.
Are there any other questions? We have completed our class for tonight. Two sections is quite a bit of material, as I'm sure you would agree. So we will continue this, starting with section 10 next week. Shalom to all.
Shalom and thank you, Hanak.